This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
I can't do this.
Sure you can. Who knows, you might like it. It's a killer rush.
Buddy, this is your fucking wake-up call, man. I am an FBI agent.
I know, man. Isn't it wild?
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to The Film Effect with Tiff. I'm back. I've got an episode. I've got a guest in the studio, live in front of me, looking at their face. It's actually quite a pleasure. It's somebody who's on some of these other podcasts here at the Rehoboth, the Social Podcast Network. We keep changing the name of the network. So the Social Podcast Network is what we're calling this potpourri of podcasts at the moment, right?
Quite a bit, huh? There's like a dozen of us now.
If a guy walks by, Tom might just give him a podcast.
Right.
You want a podcast?
Right.
I'll give you a podcast.
Call it Tomcast. You want a Tomcast?
It's not even a joke, man. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I think
he just
signed up the homeless guy down the road.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Yes. So, Point Break.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Tiff. I'm really excited. You know, I appreciate it. Wanted to come on to Film Effect. I'm a big movie fan as well. Not a big buff or anything like that, but I do like the movies.
Yeah.
And I love Point Break. It's funny.
Yeah, and we have something in common, which I didn't know when I first met you. So you surf.
Yeah.
I think you surf bigger surf. You're like a real surfer.
No.
Yes.
You know, we all, you know, you surf.
Yes.
Nah, I don't look at it that way. I just, you know, I do surf. And when this movie came out, I was at the height of, like, you know, really getting into it in 1991. I was like, yeah, I was going into my freshman year in college. And I love it. I've been around the world, and
you have. So just before we even get into this movie, let's hear where you've been surfing.
So I surfed, I've surfed in Hawaii. I've surfed in Central America. I've surfed in the Philippines. I surfed in the Marshall Islands, which is between Hawaii and Fiji. I surfed up and down California, up and down the East Coast, Puerto Rico and the Caribbean. I surfed a bunch. So, yeah, it's in my blood. I love it. It's one of my passions. And I'm, you know, I don't surf as much as I used to. I probably go out when the waves are a little bit bigger these days.
I know. See, I'm like the weirdo. I'm like, I like the small babies.
And I'd probably go out more if I had lost more weight.
Dude, so. I told Tom this too. What is the big deal? I like see guys out there all the time.
It is an actual. It's an absolutely atrocity. What Tom and I are putting ourselves through, and not doing anything about it on the eating side.
I know you guys are running like maniacs, but like it's funny.
We're running. I would say like it's kind of like, you know, the way Tom portrays it. It makes it feel like we're running all the time, but we're really not, and we're not really running. He'll come in here screaming at me about saying all this, but we're like lightly jogging, or at least I am, and then he we're maybe doing 8 to 12 miles a week. Is that a lot?
I feel like I haven't. I used to run
you're a runner.
No, I'm not. I went through a period where I used to run 3 or 4 miles at a time, a couple days a week.
And yeah, that's what we're doing, basically.
Is high for me. Like, maybe when I was doing it really consistently, I was able to do that, but I didn't like running that much. I like to just around 3.5 miles was like the sweet spot for me for like a good run.
Like a 5K.
Yeah, like a 5K, and then that would be it.
Yeah,
and I would
sure.
find that when I did more than that, it would really kill me, and then I would just feel like ridiculously dead the whole day. It was like destroyed me.
Right. It's pretty funny. You know, Tom and I we're both middle-aged people. You know, I'm in my upper 40s. He's in his early 50s. And
I'm the same as you because you just said 91 you were going to college, and I graduated high school in 91. So we're like...
I did too.
Same, Tiffany.
September, I was going into my freshman year.
So we're exactly the same age.
Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, and I started surfing like around 19, like when I was around 17.
Did you?
18.
Okay.
I've been surfing for a while. And when I graduated college, I moved to Costa Rica for like a year.
Oh my God. Yeah, so don't even say that.
It was wild. So when this movie came out, I was like all pumped because there's not a lot of surf movies, you know. North Shore was like such a, you know, North Shore in the 80s was such a, like, a, I don't know, it felt like the clouds parted for me when I saw that movie. Yeah, I was like, wow, I want to do that.
Yeah. And that was actually getting into this, like when I ask people to pick a film. Okay.
All right.
I don't think that actually comes through on the thing. But when my brain, so that movie was your first pick when I asked you to pick a film that's like a favorite or something that you were affected by.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was like, because one of the things that I did, you know, during that time too, was I skydived and I bungee jumped.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I did.
So you're like Patrick Swayze.
I don't know about that. I'm not gonna like mold like clay together with my wife or anything.
I know,
but
Patrick Swayze is versatile. I mean, he can dance it up, and then he can jump out of an airplane and surf 50-foot waves.
Funny story. Like when I graduated high school, my dad. His graduation presents to me were really funny. His graduation present to me in high school was bungee jumping.
Oh my God!
So he took me bungee jumping in Philadelphia, and I basically almost scared the bejesus out of me. When I graduated college,
wow!
He gave me skydiving classes.
Were you like into this? Obviously.
I mean, I wasn't like searching it out, but like I didn't say no to it, and I was like, oh, cool, I'll try it. Like for me, I'll try anything.
Okay, so you're not like, see, I'm saying like if my mom was like, I'm gonna give you, but I'd be like, what do you want me to die? Why would you do
right,
that?
Right.
I can't do it. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
But your dad must have known that you're kind of like open to experiences.
Right. I mean, that's the thing with surfers, as you probably know. You know, some of the stereotypes about us is, and I include you in that, is that we're a little crazy. You know, we'll do things and just like, you know, I don't know if it's adrenaline or anything like that, but I thought it was cool. So he got me skydiving lessons and I got like certified level 2 skydiver. And I obviously don't have that anymore, but that was my college present. Mike took my college roommate with me who was an exchange student from Japan.
and it
was hysterical. He was also a sumo wrestler. He was like this 5'11", 280-pound Japanese guy, one of my best friends ever, and we met in college, and we actually did it down here in Georgetown from the University of Delaware, and he had to sit through and, you know, wait for me. Like, I took all these classes, like an all-day event, and I just finally talked him into it, saying, man, just do a tandem jump. Just do a tandem jump, dude. Like, he's like, fuck no, I ain't doing that, blah, 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 in his Tokyo accent. And next thing you know, like during one of my breaks or whatever, I see him coming down in his polo shirt and khaki pants. I'm like, there he is.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that ain't a little bit about, you know, that background with me and surfing. But yeah, it's a big part of my life.
Yeah. And it's funny. For me, it's a little different. I used to do a lot of stuff. Like I'd bodyboard and things with my friends. But I have a different take because my friend Kim used to surf Ocean City. She moved to California before I did. Because I lived out there for a while, through grad school. I was out there for like 7 years, and I did learn to surf out there. That's how I picked up surfing in my 20s. And it wasn't an easy thing to learn. I was definitely like no instruction. I just got a board from somebody, and they were like, just go out there, you know. My joke is I was surfing, and I was a longboarder, and I would surf in Seal Beach, which is a longboarding spot.
Yeah.
And I would get up in the morning, and there'd be these like these old guys, and there's like retired guys. And it was just so funny because they'd sit around with their coffees, and then you go in the water. And these group of old guys, like, hung with me. And they were like, paddle, do this, you know. Yeah. And so they kind of, like, brought me under their wing because I think it's so different now. But for a girl then, I felt really alone. Like, there weren't many women in the water.
Masculine sport,
and so I kind of already felt, like, a little weird about it. And I didn't think it was, like... But now I go out there, it's like... Especially even here, like it's crazy. Yeah. It's a totally different world. And even in movies, like I think we're going to talk, let's get into Point Break, but God, and now it'll be even better because now I know you skydive.
I can ask you some
questions about what happens in that movie, which is the crazy scenes with the skydiving. But I don't know. I think that's why the movie was interesting too, because I was always looking for female characters in movies that were kind of like more. Mm-hmm. Against the grain, like sporty, or that would like do badass things, and they have this chick in the movie that's kind of cool, you know.
She
teaches him to surf, and she's kind of a badass, and I loved that. So I was really attracted to that. storyline too. Just her whole character was very cool to me to see that in the movie. And the movie's got so many fun things in it. I mean, we're just chatting away. We're going to get into it. So let me begin.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do for my wonderful listeners who are with me today, wherever you are, in your car, walking, riding a bike. When are we going to surf with AirPods? Is that happening? Mm. Okay, so we're talking about Point Break, 1991, as we just mentioned. This movie is directed by Kathryn Bigelow, which is so cool, right? Female director. Mm-hmm. Written by Rick King and also W. Peter Iliff. Am I saying mm-hmm. your name right? Okay, stars, of course, Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, Gary Busey. Let's go into the rest of it. We've got Lori Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's so many cool people in this. And the Chili Peppers make an appearance, yeah. which is even better.
Yep.
Yeah. So and so those are the main people in this movie. And this movie was an interesting story because I thought, how cool is to see a movie kind of about surfing and people that are real like thrill seekers or like mm-hmm. adrenaline junkies.
Mm-hmm.
And also, perfect mix for me, kind of like a crime story. And there's the FBI. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all in there, all of it.
Right. It's awesome. And I was watching a little bit of like the behind the scenes footage on YouTube, and Kathryn Bigelow was mentioning like it's that clash between surfers and the system.
Yeah.
You know, and bad and that push and pull. It was really cool how she explained it, because I thought, I enjoyed the movie. Like, I've always enjoyed the movie, but I didn't realize until, like, in the recent history that it had, like, this kind of campy, like, it was kind of, like, not taken that seriously because it was Keanu Reeves, Bill and Ted,
Right.
And he started to break out into that, out of that mold a little bit. So they were kind of like, I didn't realize it was more of how would you explain it? Like a movie that was so successful, but was always kind of made fun of.
I know? I get what you mean. It's almost like when people call like a movie a cult classic or something.
Kind of, but
not quite. I know what you're saying.
Right.
I'm sure there's a term for it. But no, you're right. And like I said, I think Keanu Reeves just brings that kind of vibe, which is that people love him, but they like to make fun of him too.
Right, because the way he just his yeah.
Yeah,
style.
Like we all love The Matrix, but I think we make fun of it a little bit too. It's
there's still
of,
a little Bill and Ted in every role.
Oh my God,
that's probably what it is, right?
I think that's the problem with that. Maybe that movie has like eternally typecast him.
Right,
but he's gone beyond it in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And he did some indie movies that were really great too that nobody even really people don't discuss. But I don't care, man. This movie is just.
I do.
And
I love
actually,
it.
I think. The most amazing person in the movie is Patrick Swayze
mm-hmm.
to me,
mm-hmm.
who just killed it. And like, I just think that shows how great he is to be able to go from movies like Dirty Dancing
right.
to, and I know Roadhouse is like another one.
That's like a campy,
that's another one.
That's the one that's like super popular, but like people often make fun of it.
Maybe it's a time period.
But it's that one. That's the kind of movie like Sunday afternoon when it's raining and you're laying on the couch.
Right.
You don't want to move, and it comes on. You just don't change the channel.
Oh my God!
Right?
No. In fact, I haven't seen Roadhouse in so long. Maybe we could do like a. It's almost like we're doing a double feature. But
yeah.
All right. Well, I'll read the storyline description from IMDb just to give our listeners. If you haven't seen this movie, you're young. That's all I have to tell you.
That's right.
In Los Angeles, California, a gang of bank robbers call themselves the ex-presidents, commit their crimes while wearing masks of ex-presidents Reagan, Carter, Nixon, and Johnson. The FBI believes that the members of the gang could be surfers and send young agent Johnny Utah. I mean the name alone.
Johnny Utah.
Right? Send him undercover at the beach to mix with the surfers and gather information. Utah meets surfer Bodie and gets drawn into this lifestyle of his new friend. And I mean, maybe, when I'm reading this, it's kind of like, this must have looked silly on paper, right? You're like, I got this idea. These guys are like bank robbers.
Right.
But then they're surfers. Right. And this guy's got to go undercover and surf. Right. Like, it's like, what?
The director, she mentioned it in her interview, like she had to kind of sell it to a few people, so I can see that. And actually, they wanted Patrick Swayze to play Johnny Utah originally.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But she had a thing, or like the way they did it in the director's interviews were like she has a thing for Keanu Reeves. Like she really was attracted to his style and his look. So she really was focused on trying to get him in there. And Patrick Swayze just came out of making Ghost.
Oh my God. Went,
and then moved into that role. So to your point, you said it earlier about his versatility.
Totally.
You know, went to a very emotional, sensual love story. And he happened to be in the best shape of his life. You know, he's a dancer, all this other stuff. And moves into this role, grows his hair out, completely chiseled. And goes into Point Break. So it was pretty neat. They did, you know, the behind the scenes. And they did remake this movie in 2015.
I haven't seen it. I know they did.
I saw it. Disappointed.
I was going to say, why do they do that? Can you, people of Hollywood, please stop doing that?
Yeah. They should have done,
movies that don't need to be remade.
They should have brought Keanu for the second run. Like, do Point Break 2 with, like, just him older, you know?
Yeah, make a sequel, but that's so annoying when they do that.
Yeah,
they offense.
Yeah, and his name was John. It was Johnny Utah, yeah. You know?
Well, a lot of times when I'm doing this podcast, I'm always talking about Stella. Stella, you're with us at all times. She's the one that's willing to rewatch movies with me or even just, like, have a first watch because she hasn't seen it. And I was like, well, I'm going to rewatch Point Break. Why don't you sit and watch it with me? She thought it was awesome.
It's a good movie.
And she's, what, 15?
Right.
I was like, this movie did not need to be remade, you know?
Right.
But they just want to make money.
Yeah.
That's it.
I didn't go to the theater to watch it. I did rent it. I think I was working for one of my previous companies. I was traveling, and I watched it on an airplane ride, and I was really disappointed in it. But
it's a bummer.
But this particular film was just, I just found it completely entertaining from beginning to end.
And it's, I'll say this, being a bit of a film critic, my own whatever.
You are.
I'm a little bit. I think it's a really well done movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a little long. I will say there's some action scenes that go on a little bit too much, but I think they're great and they're really realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So so what I'll do so we can kind of walk through it a little bit. We'll take us through the movie a little bit. So basically we've got Johnny Utah. He's a young FBI guy. He is now moved from wherever he was. Where was he from?
Ohio.
He was a quarterback.
Yep.
And he is in California and he is now involved in this division, this kind of like, crime division of the FBI. And he's obviously trying to make his way and he gets teamed up with Gary Busey's character, let me pull back the characters. And so right away, it's obvious they've got this thing they're dealing with, this case of these bank robbers who they mm-hmm. have not been able to catch, who are, you know, robbing banks, wearing the ex-president's masks. And they're great. They're really good. They cannot get these guys. Busey, he's obviously done a lot of work on this. And he's got his theories, which he hasn't really shared with too many other people because he's afraid they'll think he's
nuts.
Right. But he's kind of a loose cannon. I like him.
Busey is nuts.
He's really nuts.
Right.
Yeah. And I have actually a weird story. I actually hung out with his son.
Oh.
When I was in California, my friend Kim worked for Carrie Fisher for like 10 years.
Mm.
So shout out Kim. And so we kind of would meet random people. And I ended up at Jake Busey's house with, it's the weirdest story. But anyway, he's exactly like his dad. Which
oh,
is
really?
He like talks like him and looks like him.
Oh,
it's
my
so
God.
Weird.
That's so funny.
So weird. But anyway, I love, and it's funny. His name is Pappas. It's his last name, I guess.
Yep. Angelo Pappas.
Angelo Pappas. And, okay, so now we're in, and basically, after a little bit of him trying to get along with his new partner, he's like, let's just fucking do this, man. What's your theory? Let's go. He's like, I'll do it. I'll go undercover. I'll be a surfer. Let's figure this out. And so then we're really into the story.
Right.
Okay, so moving on in, what did you think about just that whole way that he interacts in terms of trying to learn how to surf? And like,
yeah, it was very authentic.
Did you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I think Patrick Swayze and Keanu both learned the surf. More Keanu did. I think Patrick didn't actually take it on from what I've read in the interviews. But Keanu actually, I think he still surfs today.
I was going to say, it looked like he was already a surfer to me of some sort.
It looks like he just definitely, he had the big stink bug stance. Like he was definitely just starting. He had the big, you know, he's definitely starting to learn and stuff like that. But
but
he was surfing for sure in the
movie.
Yeah,
you can see, and you can actually, excuse me, everyone. You can see that, I think, from the shots. Like,
totally.
I can tell.
Yeah. And it looked, I believe, Lori Petty was also a surfer.
So cool. So she made her so much cooler.
Yeah. So she surfed already, or like similar to there's some of the cast of the Dead Presidents who were actually brought on because they were almost pro surfers. Like Turtle from North Shore was in this movie.
Oh my God! Did I not pick that up?
Yeah, I can't remember the actor's name again, but he was one of the main guys, one of the ex-presidents.
Oh man!
And he was like, he's almost a pro surfer. He was in North Shore.
Okay.
And there was another guy too as well. The way he learned surfing, I would say to your question, I thought it was pretty accurate. You know, I think it's, you know, even back then in the 90s and the late 80s when I started surfing, it was very toxic masculinity. And, you know, I actually think the girls had more of a pass than the boys when it came to surfing out in the lineup. But yeah, he definitely, that was a pretty good rendition of how a surfer how a person learns to surf and gets in the way and doesn't know know what he's doing, and then there comes Bodhi to the rescue, you know. So I was thinking about that relationship with Angelo Pappas and Johnny Utah. Here's kind of there's that campy like old new guy graduating the FBI Academy. Now he's paired up with the almost retired guy.
Right,
and it's kind of a typical, I don't know, criminal movie type of thing. But it reminds me of Eddie Murphy and that
Nolte,
right?
Yes, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. And, again, at that time, there wasn't really, I think the last really cool surf movie that made it through mainstream was North Shore. So for me, watching it in the big theater and watching the way they filmed it and the angles was so amazing to me. I was so jazzed.
Well, that's the thing. When you have a passion for something, too, like you want to see it. Like now people can go on YouTube and I can type in and it's a million videos of anything surfing I can think of. Right.
Sure. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't even need to. But I think the 90s still had, and this is another thing I was going to mention. I think it's fun to watch movies from that time period. Which is so weird that that's considered old now. I feel like I'm so old, but
30 years ago,
they didn't, I mean, they had special effects, but I think when you watch a movie, like we're talking about the surf scenes, like they're very realistically done. They didn't like CG everything.
Right.
You know, it was stunt doubles or it was them, but it was somebody in the water filming. They were being filmed those were obvious surf scenes that were being filmed as people were actually surfing. And so I wonder how they would do that now. You know, it's like,
oh, just love. That's
everything
a great
feels like a cheat, you know, and
it
that's why
does.
I think the action scenes are really authentic. And I'm kind of moving forward, but I'll just jump to it because who cares? So one of my favorite scenes. It's my show. I'm doing what I want.
Do what you want.
These are my favorite parts of the movie. Get on board. And me and Stella had such a reaction to it. We were just like, "Holy shit!" Mm-hmm. So when they go to bust who they think the surfer guys are. The Anthony Kiedis group of guys, that entire shit show of an FBI scene is insane, right?
Yeah.
It's awesomely insane. Yeah. And I kind of love, because I watch a lot of these like criminal procedure, like, you know, I watch like SVU or I'll watch like Criminal Minds.
Uh-huh.
And they're always so on it, man. They're just, they walk in and they're like, poop, poop, poop.
Right.
They never make a fucking mistake.
Right.
And these guys are like a mess, right? They're just like...
He just shoots himself in the foot.
Yeah, then they're like fighting with a lawnmower.
Right,
it's like totally nuts. I'm like, that's probably what it's really like.
Right, I agree.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great scene. And if, I also thought when I was watching, I'm like, okay, he's distracted. That can't be really them. So there was some predictability to the movie, right?
Oh, that's a good question. So in terms of right away, is it pretty obvious? I know you've seen it a bunch of times, but do you think it's obvious to the audience when they're watching it the first time that Bodhi is really the real guy? Or do you think we're supposed to be... I can't even remember now because I've seen it so much that I don't remember my first experience with it. If I was if it was such a reveal when I was like, oh my God, that's the guy?
It felt obvious to me when I watched it.
Totally.
I felt like, okay, Keanu and Patrick Swayze, they're the main characters. And they kind of take a left turn, try to divert the attention with a cool crime scene or a cool bust, and they were wrong, you know. So it had some of that kind of predictability to it, but not to your point, it was very entertaining. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and you're right. That's the hard thing about like having a top billing actor on the poster, or like,
right?
Because I think we know right away. Okay, well, Patrick Swayze's like he's Patrick Swayze, right, so he's right. probably the guy.
Right. It was a great scene. It was cool that the Chili Peppers were there.
Right.
Oh my God. Oh my
Did
God.
Did you love the Chili Peppers? Sidebar music.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that whole time, you know, because Tom and I had the other podcast for Pearl Jam, and so it was around that time. I mean, I was completely immersed in the Pearl Jam world during that time.
Right.
And Eddie Vedder surfs, you know, Pearl surfing and Pearl Jam. It's kind of one-on-one, you know, and so that spoke to me, and then the movie came out, so I was in my, I felt like I was just like, wow, the culture of my persona is coming through everywhere, through music and through film, and I love it. What was really messed up was, I don't know what the hell I was doing in college, you know, everything else around me, like the things that I was interested in was really kind of neat. It was like stars aligning all the way around. I was surfing, I was traveling.
Wow, that's crazy.
In college, I was like, man, what am I going to do when I grow up?
I think everyone feels like that. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot when you're young to feel this immense pressure of like, what are you going to do? What's the deal?
And like, I just wanted to surf. Honestly, I just like wanted to surf. I mean, I was playing tennis. I played tennis in high school.
Oh, you did?
And
okay.
I was on the college team until I got cut because I had the flu and I didn't make the second week tryout. And then I walked onto the football team.
Wow.
So, yeah, I did play football in college.
Did you?
Johnny
did.
Utah. That's so funny. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, no kidding.
This is why I like to do this podcast because
it's so funny.
People even know why they pick. It's like anything you would pick, right? Like a favorite song.
That is so funny.
But here you go. You're walking through it, and now you're realizing like this is why I love this movie.
Like, wait.
It's so related to you then in so many ways.
That is wild. I'm kind of blew myself away there. I didn't even realize. I knew surfing and stuff, but yeah, I did play football in college.
And you skydive.
I skydived.
I mean,
I didn't rob any banks, but I was.
We should just start calling you Bodie right now. That's my new nickname for you from here on out.
That is so funny. I was. That's tripping out.
True.
That is so funny. I didn't even think of that. Oh, it didn't even dawn on me.
Yeah. So for you, this was like.
Hit home, I guess.
Yeah, tapping into all the things that were already there for you. For me, it was kind of like, man, I wish I could be that cool.
You are that cool, Tiff.
But not, I was that age, I was like, oh, that's such a cool, like Lori Petty's character and like the whole.
You got her vibe, I think.
I totally do. It's been a journey. I mean, when I did it then, it was like, I felt like very out of sorts. I was kind of like doing this thing and I didn't know. And the funny thing is, you say people are drawn to the adrenaline of surfing, like, what's weird for me that I like to do it, and not that I haven't done a lot of things, I just, there's something a little scary about it for me. Like, I even tell the kids, like, I don't even, like, they're like, let's go. And I'm like, if it's like a little bigger, I'm like, I don't know. I'm old. Like, I don't know if I want to get like pummeled in this way, you know, like,
that's right.
Because it does, like, I'm not such a, I would never jump out of a plane. Like, I don't, that wasn't in me then. So for you, it's very different.
Yeah, surfing can be many things to many different people, though. Like, I think people could longboard and have fun on 2 to 3 foot waves.
Right.
And just have a blast with their family. And that's really cool, too. Yeah. I've done that with my son.
I like doing that. Yeah.
And then you can also take a shortboard, paddle out into the middle of the ocean like I have in the South Pacific.
Holy shit. And paddle out
into these bombs.
What's that like, man?
Yeah, it was wild. You know,
Did you fear for your life a little bit?
You know, at that time, like for those kinds of trips, I've taken a bunch of those trips in my life. You know, I would train for a month. I would join the Y for 1 month.
You would train?
Yeah, I would join the Y for 1 month prior to the trip. And I would swim a mile in the pool.
Oh, my God.
And I would actually do it with my rash guard on, my board shorts on to get the drag and all that. And I would actually get waterproof headphones. I would listen to music. And I would swim a mile 5 mornings a week. And then by the time the trip was about to come, I would probably have lost 10 pounds, 8 pounds. And I was ready to go. And then when I would paddle out at first day, it's really about your confidence in your swimming. What surfing is really about.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I feel like surfing is critical in a lot of ways, but it's also determined on how comfortable you are in the ocean.
Oh, okay.
Think about it, right?
No, you're totally right. I think you're right. Yeah, I didn't even, like, I mean, that's an obvious thing, but like...
Right, it doesn't calculate because you're thinking about the board and the wave.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with the thing like smacking me in the head. I've had two friends that have had their head sliced open from a fin.
I've had a nose.
Have you? And I'm like, I don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
But, you know, I don't really think about that. And I'm also surfing... Hello, Delaware.
Yeah.
little tiny.
I've surfed massive waves in Delaware, though.
I know. Well, they've been kind of interesting lately, right?
Yeah. We've had Hurricane Isaias, and I always say to people, like when I skydived and when I bungee jumped, I've always, it's scary for that first couple of seconds, and that's really it. With surfing, especially with big waves, there's an element of control in bungee jumping and skydiving and even snowboarding. Snowboard's so cool. Yeah, but imagine snowboarding a big mountain and there's an avalanche following behind you. That's what surfing is. You know? So,
well, the water is always in motion. Right. Yeah, you can't control it.
You can't control it. Yeah. You're in the hands of something else. Whereas like with skydiving, you just got to pull the ripcord. It's either going to open or not. Right. So you're kind of in control of that environment as well.
I never thought about it that way, but yeah.
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 But you know, and then like having seen Keanu Reeves go through that process and actually falling in love with surfing and then falling in love with Lori Petty's character, and then having this conflict between good and bad, and he, you know, befriended these guys, and he's young FBI agent, and he didn't know what to do. And remember, he shot in the air, bam, 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 because he didn't want to shoot his buddy.
Well, and let's get into the real drama of the story now, okay? Because now you're touching on it. I mean, so I think underneath what is happening, which is all the cliche, you know, he's gonna solve the crime, and these are the bad guys, but oh my god! And so this undercover situation, and it's getting, you know, obviously undercover people have to get deep with the people they're trying to investigate. But beyond even just that job and what is literally happening, it's very obvious to me that this story is about two people who are kind of the same, right?
Right.
He's drawn to the FBI. Why? It's dangerous. You know, like he's got that bone in him too. He's obviously done all the same similar things, played football. He does risky things.
Right.
Bodhi does it in a different way, and they have he has a different reason for his kind of thrill seeking, adrenaline searching experiences. He's trying to tap in closer to some sense of, you know, the ultimate, like, be in touch with the universe. Right. I feel like he's got this spiritual part of him that he's decided that this is his way to tap into, like, what's most important in life to him, right?
Right.
And it's almost like he gets preachy at times, you know?
He definitely does. Yeah. Around the fire.
Yeah. He's like the badass Buddha, you know?
Right,
and he's
right,
like, hey,
right.
man, you know?
While you're trapped in their steel coffins in the highway, this is our chance to take it to the man.
I just want to live on the edge and die. Yeah. You know, like he's tapped into this idea. And I think Keanu's character, Johnny's character, is
morality, right?
He's kind of doesn't even know who he is yet. And he just is like, he knows he wants to do things, but he doesn't know what his point is. And I think that's what's so cool to watch in the story is the way that those two guys are battling that, but also seeing themselves in the other person so much that they can't really go at each other.
Right.
And that scene that you talked about is awesome.
Right.
Because he had him right there.
He had him. Could have killed him right
there.
So we're
talking about the scene where he happens to, I forget how he catches him.
So he goes out.
Yeah, go ahead.
He orders Pappas, Utah, two. Give me two. Two meatball sandwiches, two.
And then that's. And if Gary Busey would just stop eating. It's all he does is fuck everything up because he's eating. Go ahead.
Part of it. So funny. So funny. Two. Utah. Two. Give me two.
And true to his age and his, you know, where he's at in life, right?
Yeah. They are camping out the side street there, and they got a beat on when they're going to rob the bank. And Johnny Utah's ordering at the corner, you know, hot dog stand, two meatball sandwiches. And there goes the dead presidents coming out. And then Johnny blows his cover. Runs down the middle of the street, freeze, FBI, and then he just blows his cover, and that's when the whole, like, to me, I was like, oh, here we go. Like,
well, that, yeah, and that changes the whole movie.
Yeah, it changes the whole movie.
Because now they both know.
It got real dark.
Yeah, and that's where they both know who they are now,
right,
you know?
Right,
but that also made it really exciting, because then it's like, well, what is he going to do with him, you know?
Right.
And really, it's more, I think you become more afraid for Johnny, because it's like, all right, well, fuck. I mean, this guy's dangerous. This guy doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
How is he going to play this out? Now he's got the girlfriend.
Well, Bodhi felt betrayed because he actually liked him.
He did.
Right?
He did.
He liked him in a very kind of best friend or brotherly way.
Yeah, and you kind of think, well, maybe he's pulling into his group, this guy. Right. This is like young, you know, this new, like, minion of sorts.
Yeah, through
to kinda,
Laurie's character.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes like a betrayal for him.
I felt that, you know. And then he just like, yeah. And then that starts that spiral towards the end of the movie, and it just races towards the end. And I thought that's where it got interesting. You know, it was really neat the way they built it up, and they kind of like, okay, here we go. And now how is it going to end? They found out who each other, you know. And how did you feel about the way they handled that? Because the next scene from that was Johnny Utah and Lori Petty in bed.
Right, right.
You know, and they was like thinking about it. You know, he was like wondering what's going to happen. And then they knock on the door.
Right.
Hey, man, it's 5 to 7, blah, 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 wherever they were in L.A. And they go surfing. And then I think, oh, you know, Johnny didn't know. He didn't know it was Bodhi until he dropped his pants in the ocean.
That's right. We know that Patrick Swayze knows.
Right.
Okay. But sorry, I keep calling him Patrick Swayze. Bodhi knows. However, you're right. He doesn't realize until they're all surfing, and it's that plant and payoff, which I always talk about in movies. So because I went to film school. So
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do things like that a lot in movies where they'll show you something kind of insignificant that will make a big impact later. And that whole
thing. What's that called again?
It's called a plant and payoff.
Ah.
So they'll plant. Yeah, they plant a small thing, and then later it's like, oh my God, that butt tattoo or the whatever it was that he, that movement of like, I'm going to moon you. He's like, that's him, right? So
he realized, and then at that point, he's like, I got a meeting to go to.
Do the voices.
Yeah, I gotta go. I got a meeting to go
to. That's
a
really good Keanu. Oh my God. That's pretty good, man. Yeah. Oh, shit.
And Laurie's like, you just looks like you saw a ghost. And then he just takes off, and then he realizes it. And then he goes back to Pappas, and they go over the whole thing, the timeline. And I found it interesting that at that moment, he was like, dialed in to go catch him.
Yeah.
And then during that chase scene, the guns, when he realized he had some feelings for him.
Yeah.
You know, but he was at that moment. He's like, I got him. Right. I got him. You know, and I don't know.
It's an awesome scene. Yeah. And that chase scene alone is amazing.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Like, I watched it. It's like I said, the millionth time I've seen it.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going like, how the hell did they do this? Mm-hmm. It looks like a one take.
Right.
Through houses, through yards, like every crazy thing that happened in that scene. Yeah.
And
so,
he takes off.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's not funny, but it's like the movie is an adrenaline, you know, it's like this kind of action-packed movie. But even in the small scenes, it's like very fast-paced.
Right.
Even the storytelling, like if you have a moment where you're like, what's going to happen? 2 minutes later, ding dong, it's like the next thing is already happening. There's no time to simmer on whatever you think is about to happen
right
now.
It did move, though, didn't it? It moved fast.
It moves pretty quick. And that's why, you know, getting to my favorite part, it's actually darker, but it's my favorite, is when they put him in the car and he's got to now do this bank robbery with them.
Oh, right.
That
oh,
is, to me, God. The most pivotal part.
And he was unmasked.
That's right. It's like such a it's such a fucking interesting thing that Bodhi does, because he's got something to prove to him, which is like, you think this is so different, you know, like you want to be in the action. Let's do this. Like, you're a part of this now. And then, of course, that goes completely haywire because for the first time they do something they don't ever usually do. Right.
Right.
They go for the safes.
Right.
Usually they just hit the drawers.
Yeah.
And then everything goes fucking crazy at that point.
You know what was going through my mind during that scene when Keanu robbed the bank and he was unmasked? I'm like, how much latitude does the FBI have? I'm like, hey, they gave him a budget to go learn how to surf, you know? You know, he's chasing things down. She could have shot the guy point blank. He doesn't. Now he go robs a bank, and he still has a job. I'm like, I know.
And you know, the weird thing is, like, it's funny because when you're young, you know, I say this all the time. I think movies are so special to me because, you know, if you live in suburbia, like you've traveled, but until you get to do things as an adult or at an older age, your only window sometimes, at least for me, my big window into things like the world around me or places like California, like was through movies, you know?
Right.
So that was my only reference to surfing, people that surf, the FBI. So I wonder how many young people saw this movie and went, dude, the FBI will teach you to surf. I'm going to join
when I was
up.
When I was in the FBI, they didn't teach me to surf. Oh, no. Did I just say that? Would that have been something? I was in
the bomb squad. Well, I did skydive, and I didn't tell you this, but I also was in the FBI.
I did play football. Oh, my God.
So, okay, let's get into the skydiving. I mean, was that realistic to you? I mean, it's so crazy, those scenes.
I thought it was... I was really impressed is that they both did it, you know?
They obviously did, because those
Patrick Swayze definitely did it. He definitely was doing all the acrobatic stuff in the air. I wasn't sure about Keanu because they didn't pan away like they did with Patrick Swayze when he was like... He's at the end of the...
Oh, and then he goes off like a dot.
Yeah. I mean, he jumped out of the airplane.
It's fucking crazy.
I mean, he fucking did it. I was like, damn. So I thought that to me, the authenticity of that stuff was really cool. When I took those classes, I mean, it was very structured, and you had an instructor, and you know, I was in a rickety little airplane in Georgetown, Delaware, and no seats in the airplane. We're all sitting there huddled up.
That's what my brother did.
And we were all like just completely like freaked out. And the instructor taps, the guy who was teaching me. He goes, "How was that kid?" And I was like eight. I was like 21, 22 when I graduated college. And he's like, "I think Carlos is okay." And it's just loud, apparently. He turns around, looks at me. "Are you fucking ready to do this?" Like, you know, he's yelling in my face. "Are you ready? You ready?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." Because they started, you know, the anticipation of it is absolutely hair-raising. You're climbing up and you're just circling all the way up to 10,000 feet, all the way up. And all you see is clouds.
I honestly, you're describing my nightmare right now. I don't think it's worth the fun that you would get from the experience for me to even do that.
Well, check this out. I was in line to go. So it was a big class and I was in line to go. And I saw two things happen before my jump, my first jump. A, I was watching the class before me. One lady coming, I think it was a lady or a guy. He hits the brakes about, I want to say, 30 to 50 feet above ground. He pulls the cords down, hits the brakes, and slams the ground. He just hits the brakes too low. He just hits the brakes.
Okay, so when you... I'm trying to give you guys a visual. Yeah. So Carlos means, like, the brakes on the parachute.
Right, right.
So that is that what that's called? So you, like...
You control speed, and you turn with the two... I don't even know what to call them anymore. The two cables,
right.
Or
so
whatever.
That's after when you've pulled the...
Psh, yeah, and then you're gliding down.
Yeah, okay.
And then the guy, like... He, you know, when you pull all the way down, you basically stop in the air. The parachute folds up into nothing, and then you basically land.
Whoa.
He pulled too early. So I was, like, freaked out there. The ambulance comes shooting out to the cornfield. And then, like, probably 30 minutes before that, I see a chute coming down by itself, just spiraling down into the cornfield all by itself. I'm like, what the hell is that? And I saw the guy with his emergency chute coming through.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, talk about that. So
see,
I was
that's,
like,
that's some scary shit. Man. Yeah, yeah.
It was wild.
It's crazy.
And it's so funny. Like, you're so, like, you know, I'm 47 now. And, like, when I was in my 20s, you know, like, Shark Week's messed my head up too. Like, just, you know, back then I was surfing in the dawn and dusk, not thinking about stuff by myself in the rain and thunder, storm surf.
I mean, that's what I do. Just kidding.
Yeah.
What are you going to tell me right now? So, I don't want to know your story.
But no, I'm just saying, like, you're so, in my perspective, at your 20s, you just feel like there's nothing that can harm
you.
Yeah,
well, that's this is what you know as a parent now, the fear of that, because I have children, 16, you know, and they're idiots. No offense, I love you guys.
They
you're not stupid. I'm
they,
not calling you stupid, but there is this, they're missing a piece in their brain.
Right.
That is what you're talking
about. Consequence, right.
It's just like they all don't have a clue. And then we're like, go drive a car. And we're like, what is that?
I know.
Okay.
Right.
I can't believe they let kids drive cars.
Yeah,
I'm
16.
Like, I'm like, take this metal vehicle that goes 100 miles an hour and just take it. Go.
Right, right.
See what happens.
Barely have pubic hair.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but we all did it, right? So who am I? I'm sounding like an old fart.
But back to the skydiving scene.
Sorry.
I think, you know, they, they, and then what was nuts, Keanu jumps after the plane without a chute and goes after him.
Well, that's awesome.
That's a little Hollywoodish, obviously, but I loved it.
No, but you know what? And this is what I mean about this movie. I'm going to say this. So the movie does have these extreme scenes where you're like, come on, really? But I will tell you, because of the good story, and I'm giving this like really big compliment to the writers and to Kathryn Bigelow, because this is how you do good storytelling, is that we are so in it with the fact that Keanu has been pushed in so many directions to nail this guy, because now it's like way personal. It's gone beyond just the job, and he is just, it's like he's got to get him, you know? It's this weird, and we're in it with him. We're like, this has got to happen, that it is just causing him to do insane things.
Oh my God, I'm waiting for some really cool, creative college student to take that scene when he jumps out of the plane without a chute and just kind of goes by Bodhi to his death.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, okay, end of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically commits suicide.
Sorry, this is what really happens when people do that. So I guess my point, you know, listen, let's go there. You're a skydiving guy, or you did it.
Yeah.
I think about this right away when we're talking about the reality of that. I'm thinking about like people that rock climb, and I'm thinking about the guy, the movie Solo.
Right.
Because there are people that are free climbing. And to
that's
me,
insane.
To me, that's got to be the same. I mean, listen, there probably aren't people just jumping fucking. You couldn't do that. I mean, are there people that do this as like an acrobatic thing where they jump without a parachute to jump onto someone that.
No, that's completely.
That's
Hollywood.
Not even a thing,
no,
right?
No.
That's just crazy.
The solo free climbing thing to me is absolutely pure insanity.
It's fucking crazy.
Because there's a lot of mind there. With skydiving, it's black or white. It's either going to open or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no in between.
No, you're right. Yeah.
You know, and like, yeah, I mean, skydiving, I mean, rock climbing, I see those guys and they're like thousands of feet above with nothing but their hands and feet. That actually exists.
That's a different breed of people.
Yeah. And the other extreme sport that doesn't get a lot of airtime because it's kind of hard to watch on TV, you don't really get it, is the kayakers.
What is
and
that?
Those kayak.
Tell me.
Kayaking the river.
Well, yeah, but what?
But like to me.
Oh, you mean like white water rafting
yeah,
kind of
like,
thing?
Like those guys who do class 4, 5, 6 rivers.
Oh.
That shit. I did that in Costa Rica.
Did you really?
Scarier than surfing. Oh. I always wanted to get out of there faster than anything in the world. Like, get me off this goddamn. Get me out of this kayak right now. I'm going to die.
Wow.
And it's like rapids as tall as this ceiling in this room. And you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Like, how do you control this uncontrollable force?
Yeah, that sounds crazy. But I think that of like these people doing 50-foot, 100-foot. I mean, maybe because I don't.
Oh, surfing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, those guys are a different breed.
I know they're being, like, you know, jet skied in, but if you really look at that, I always joke, I'm like, it kind of looks like they're surfing, but they're like, their board is just flying. They're
an ant going down a
mountain. It's like they jumped off a hill or a cliff, and they're just flying, because really, it's probably what it's like. It's like, I can imagine, just, and like, you're not even really on the water.
And there's an atomic bomb following you behind you. I mean,
so nuts.
No, that to me, big wave surfing.
That's
in
so
that
crazy.
Way, I'm not a big wave surfer at all. I mean, I've you know compared to some people, maybe they would, but I am not. I have friends who've done Waimea Bay and Todos Santos.
Really? Oh my
I
god!
I actually talked to Garrett McNamara when I used to work for GoPro.
Oh really?
So I talked to him on the
phone
because when I was working at GoPro, we were working together on trying to get GoPro footage for his tow wins at Nazaré, the big Portuguese 100-foot wave.
Okay. Yes, that. Yeah.
But yeah, those guys are in a different mental space. Honestly, and that's where that, you know, again, kind of segue into the sequel, not the remake of this movie. They try to tap into the modern
version of
craziness
of taking it to the edge.
Yeah. And that's where, like, you know, filmmakers and, you know, the technology, you know, they blow the wave up.
I know,
and make
right.
you make the guy look really small. And but yeah, those guys.
And
are
that's what I'm saying. Like, sorry, go ahead.
Those guys are in a different ilk. You know, they're definitely.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And so for 91, Bodhi seems to be of that.
Right.
That level.
For that time.
For that time. And I think, so we'll just, because we're, you know, we're getting into a long episode, but you guys are loving every second of it. No, you are. But I do think, you know, so Keanu jumps. Oh, my God. Just.
He catches Bodhi. And
then somehow they live, which is totally nuts.
And what was really neat was Bodhi uses Keanu's relationship with Lori Petty's character as a way to escape. He takes her hostage.
That's right. Thank you.
To just get away. He wasn't going to do anything to her.
No, he just wants to do what he wants to do.
He just wants to get away. And he knows that Johnny Utah will not harm him if Lori Petty's in the
way.
I know.
Well, because women ruin everything. Sorry. I'm just kidding. Yeah, but it's so, like, if you didn't have the love interest, none of this would matter. Well, I'm just kidding.
She was hot. But hot. I know. I was like totally like blue eyes, brown hair. I was like, wow, she's smoking. And I don't blame Johnny Utah for
she's aged not well, actually.
I haven't seen her in a while.
She doesn't look as cool as she did in that movie. Oh, that was her prime.
Oh, really?
Well, you know what's funny? She was.
I've never seen her in another movie, honestly.
Well, she was in, did you watch the baseball movie?
With Tom Hanks.
So she plays the young sister.
She did.
And then also she's been on Updated now, like in the past decade or so. She's been on Orange is the New Black.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is that a good... I heard a lot of good things about that show.
It's an interesting show. I liked the first two seasons, and then it kind of, I don't know, goes where it goes. But a lot of people love that whole series, that whole thing. But she popped up on... I remember I was watching it, and I didn't even know it was her. And I was like, holy shit, Lori Petty looks old, man.
She's
very skinny. She's always kind of cool, though, because she's got like this like punk thing about her,
right.
I think.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Her hair's
Pat Benatar-ish.
White bleached hair. She's just cool.
She did it. She did a great job in that movie, and I thought it was poetic, you know, the way Bodhi, you know, used her as a mechanism to escape. And then ultimately... you know, to the end, you know, Johnny, you know, with his long hair now, years later, finds him at Bell's Beach.
It's awesome.
You know, it was wild. And that was actually shot, that was at Waimea Bay. And
oh, was it really?
Shot at Waimea Bay. And that was
fun facts.
It was Ken, I actually met him at the North Shore on my honeymoon. One of the big wave surfers of Hawaii did that scene where he basically body surfed down the face of the wave.
Oh, really?
That was supposed to be Bodhi, you know, committing suicide.
Yeah.
But they were supposed to be in, the scene was supposed to be in Australia, Bell's Beach, but they actually shot that in Waimea Bay on a rainy day. It was neat. It was neat. And I was like, man, FBI, that's a great job. They just don't fire your ass, you know?
I guess not. I guess not. That's where the movie stuff comes. That's the movie stuff. Right. That's the Hollywood part. I just read there's some fun facts on here.
Yeah.
Or just trivia. This is probably just not even that interesting. So Patrick Swayze's character is named Bodhi, the Bodhisattva.
Oh, yeah.
Is a term in the Buddhist religion meaning an enlightened being who, out of compassion, forgoes nirvana in order to save others.
Right.
Bodhi means wakefulness. So obviously that was very thought out to name him that.
You know, Johnny Utah is a spinoff from Joe Montana.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know Joe Montana, the quarterback.
I do. Right. My friend Kim, who I'm speak Kim, you're all over this podcast. Who was the first surfer girl that I ever met, that one of my good friends from high school, and she was obsessed with Joe Montana.
Yeah. So
she's a big football person, right. And she had posters of him.
Yeah. So that's the spinoff of that. That's where the name came from. Joe Montana, Johnny Utah.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool too.
It is cool. There's a lot of fun. I mean, I could go all day reading these little.
And I recognize a lot of the surfers that were the stunt double, like the stunt double for for Patrick Swayze was Matt Archibald, was a Southern California pro surfer, looks just like Patrick Swayze, and he has that kind of signature tube riding style where he lays back and grabs a... I was like, that's Matt, that's Archibald.
I need to like learn more about surfing. It's funny because I don't know if you've experienced this with your kids. Like, Charlotte is so young. To me, she's still, you know, she's about to be in seventh grade, and I've taught now my two girls to surf, and Charlotte just thinks that I'm like the god of, like, she thinks I know everything.
Sure.
Like, she'll ask me questions, and I'm like, I'll be honest with you guys, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm like, I don't have the answers for this.
Yeah, but you're good, you know, that's what moms are for, though, you know?
But it's great. I mean, she does, because I'm the person that showed her, and so she thinks I have, like, every answer, because now she's, like, really getting good.
Right.
But I love the surf style thing. I love when you have certain people, they have a certain way.
Right.
And we all do. Isn't that what's cool about surfing, right?
I mean, that's 100%. I mean, and seeing, like, you know, at that time I was watching a lot of VHS surf movies.
Were you?
Oh, totally.
Endless Summer. Could talk about that movie.
Yeah, so you can do that next time, maybe.
Dude,
you know?
I've watched that a million times.
The first one or the second one?
The first one.
In the 1960s with Bruce
Just
Brown?
Just the Ridge. Yeah. Just like.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so cool about it? And now we're just sidebarring, and maybe I will do this next time. That movie was so innovative
right.
because not only was it about surfing, it was like about travel and people traveling and surfing in places that had never been surfed before.
Ever. Yeah.
And that is such a feat to make a film at that time.
It was
and a
It was an awesome movie.
And it's such a relaxing thing to watch.
Yeah, it is. The way it's so chill.
I fucking
love it. Yeah.
I think it's because I have I'm kind of a longboarder in my soul.
Yeah.
And to watch the way they like
the smooth, real smooth,
just the chill,
big long lines.
Oh my God.
Yeah, those are fun. Yeah, those are like. I mean, I have a longboard too. I don't take it out as much, but.
Well, it's. I think this is your personality. You know, like when you decide if you're short. I know you can do both.
Yeah.
But I do find that, like, I'm looking at Charlotte right now, and she's already down. Like, she went from an 8 to now she's at a 6.5. And she's, I'm like, you're a little ripper,
turning.
Man.
Yeah.
You're
nice.
Like, ugh. And I'm like, you're going to be aggro.
That's awesome.
You're like a little, you know, it's like in her. I'm like, oh, man, you're going to be one of those. Like, but it is funny because I think you do come out. Like, it's cool to watch kids, too.
Yeah, I think when you're young, I guess there are some young longboarders, but, you know, young people.
Is that just all young people? They
yeah,
want to rip?
I guess. I mean, I learned how to surf when I was 16, 17. I wanted to rip, you know. I'm a little bit older. And I'm riding bigger and thicker boards now, and. But yeah, we should review Endless Summer someday. That'd be fun.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. And that's such an interesting, yes, all of it.
I like both movies. I like the one and two. With
I have to watch two. I haven't seen.
That's
I don't
a good
if,
one.
Is
it's
it?
Bruce Brown. He
okay.
directed it again. And,
okay,
and
I'll check it out.
Had a longboarder, Wingnut, and Pat O'Connell. And they both did, they will travel to some of the similar spots that that Robert August did. And I can't remember it was the guy that was traveling with them. But it was that's another well-done movie. A good sequel, I thought. But, yeah, Point Break. Loved
Guys,
it.
Guys, we could go on all day.
I loved it. No, I want to watch it now.
Right? I mean, maybe. Hey, listen, just have it ready for when you need to sit down and just.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what I love about, I'll just say what I love about the movie is whether you're, and this is like one of those movies where it's like, are you a Bodie or a Johnny? Like, who are you,
right?
What's your personality? And, but I think we both have those two different sides of us.
You're on the Lori Petty side. I'm on the Johnny Utah side.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. And well, you know, I'm going to say this just to be a little bit annoying. I think what I hate, even about movies back then, is that women, even though, and here's the thing, right? Because they had to do it because it was part of the story. But she comes in this like very cool, independent, whatever
Rebel.
Chick.
Yeah.
But then she's got to be the love interest.
Right.
I'm like, why can't she just be a badass that hangs out? Why does she have to fall in love with Johnny Utah? Like, why can't she just
be part of the tribe?
That's what I'm saying. Like there
be
are plenty,
one of the robbers.
There are plenty of people. Yes. Well, maybe now
today
you would
they would
see
be,
that.
Yeah. You would see a female robber, a black robber, an Asian robber,
right,
a gay robber.
Right.
You know, you would see them all now. You would see them all now, right? I mean, like, where it's the world we're living in, which is fine.
You really would. And I shouldn't say that because it should. I mean, listen, it is part of the story. She was meant to fall.
But she was still a badass, though.
She was still a badass.
Yeah, she was
still
a badass.
Cool.
She had that tribe, but she definitely, instinctually, you know, as men and women, they got attracted to each other, and that's what happened. So
they liked each other. They couldn't help it.
That's right.
Maybe I had a hard time believing that she liked him.
Right.
I think I was like, I think you should be with Bodie again.
Right.
That seems like the person for you. Why are you with this guy?
Zappa.
He's like kind of a poser, but then he's not.
Right.
And he's literally a poser because he's lying. But okay, so whoever you are, guys, if you're Bodie, if you're Johnny, if you're Lori Petty, what's her name? I don't know. Her character's name.
Tyler Endicott.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Then, you know, find yourself in Point Break because you're in there.
We
somewhere.
Can't do this.
Oh my
sure
God.
Sure you can.
I didn't mean that.
Who knows?
Sorry.
You might like
no, it's one call out to John C. McGinley, the FBI director. He was hysterical, that character.
Oh my God.
Do you guys have anything remotely interesting to say? Remotely.
Rush.
This thing won't stop playing.
I
I'm
caught
so sorry.
My first tube, sir.
Oh, that is amazing.
Oh my God. I
can you just do
laugh.
What? Do one more line in Keanu's. Please.
What?
Oh my you know God. A bunch, I can tell.
I don't
do you
know.
Have one more up your sleeve?
I don't know. Like, oh, well,
right,
I know from
the,
from,
the
well, from the Matrix, you know. I know Kung Fu. You know? Right? The Matrix. Have you reviewed those movies yet? We should do that one.
I did The Matrix with my kids because I was stuck in the quarantine. All right, I'm just going to play a quote to end us. Carlos, this is random, so I don't even know what it's going to be. But thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Please come back and we'll talk more movies and more fun surfing or whatever else
totally.
We want to talk about.
I enjoyed it.
And I will want to shout out to the Social Podcast Network.
That's right.
To
Social Tomcast Network.
The Tomcast Network with Carlos. We've got Into Deep. We've got
Anonymous.
Anonymous. Full Send with Tom and Tiff.
Full Send with Tom and Tiff. The Film Effect here, which is great. And there's a couple of other new ones that have popped up. I don't know their names anymore, but
I know they just keep adding.
And Tara Lausch, right?
Oh yeah, Be Selfish.
Oh, Be Selfish.
Selfish.
Oh, Selfish. I was like, what?
No, that's my next podcast. instead of helping everyone, I'm going to tell you, be selfish.
Oh, my God.
So, don't do what totally you don't want fun. To. Just do your own thing. No, but yeah, please support the network. Please listen to the shows. Like, subscribe, follow.
There you go.
Message.
There you go.
Come to my house. Let's hang out. All right. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you, Tiffany.
Special Agent Utah. This is not some job flipping burgers at the local drive-in. Yes, the surfboard bothers me. Yes, your approach to this whole goddamn case bothers me. And yes, you bother me!